Welcome to the January 21st, 2025 meeting of the Citizens Oversight Committee, acting as the Citizens Finance Advisory Committee. Welcome, everybody. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Chair Peck?
Here.
Member Dorfman?
Here.
Member Johnson?
Here.
Quorum is established with Vice Chair Woody and Member Ludlow.
The first item on the agenda is committee member announcements and presentations. The first part of that is the revenue subcommittee update. I just wanted to preface and Johnson speak is reminding everybody of how the committee was formed. About this time last year, we had a joint meeting with the City Council. One of the directors from the City Council was to provide an analysis of revenue opportunities that they might not visit sometime this year. Later in the year, committee members Dorfman and Johnson are on that committee. So, Gene and Brian, put the other report on the progress of your revenue.
Yes, we do. Is this clear? Well, at this point, we're looking at three or four kind of, I would call them low-hanging fruit options.
I think we have it now.
Is this work? Yes, that's much better. Thank you. We can go over those, meaning there are a number of really great ideas that can be looked at, including things like paid parking and parcel taxes, and perhaps we should do that in the near future. But I felt if we looked at things that would generate less controversy and have less obstacles to moving through that might be most beneficial for the city. So just show some results fairly quickly and easily. So one of them is to look at this quite substantial parcel portfolio that the city has of underutilized or unused properties, and to think about ways to both have monetize those, but more importantly, to have them think within a vision of the city and what we want Morro Bay to be as it is evolving from what it's been in the past, and the types of businesses we would like to attract. So there's quite a bit to talk about there. The other idea, this was Brian's, and so he should speak to this quite a bit more, is a whole angle around getting students in particular, or a younger demographic in general, let's go to Morro Bay, because it is a very attractive destination, and the types of activities and messaging and businesses and restaurants that might promote that and bring in a fairly substantial amount of revenue from what is a quite affluent student demographic in this county. And that would also kind of correspond with enhanced emphasis on ecotourism, which is already here to some degree, but there's a lot of potential to grow that. And another angle is because we get so much revenue from our gas stations, double the state average, to just do with maybe a little bit more targeting around that to make the citizenry aware of if the gas up here, that money comes to our city coffers. So just to figure out a campaign on that. And then I think another one that for consideration would be changing our reserve requirements, which are quite conservative right now at 33%. We've talked about it and, commented in various meetings that possibly to change that to something that seems to be more widely adopted, which would be 25% and would free up a fair amount of revenues. Anything you want to add, Brian, to that?
Let's see.
So are you all familiar? Have you looked through the real estate portfolio that we're talking about? It's extensive. And so my mic says it's, is that better, Betty? Okay. Any more hecklers? Okay. So Gene and I started, we looked at it at a big umbrella, and then we looked at specific pieces, and we did this brainstorming, oh, this piece, that. And I think really the recommendation would be something that, get it organized, know what you have. Because if something comes and you want to utilize out those assets, your real estate assets, then you're kind of organized. It just felt like when I first got on this board, my thinking was if we ran this like it was our own business, I think it's going to be very successful. If this was all our real estate, we would know what we have and what pieces might move in what directions or how they might fit into the bigger vision and the development in these sections. And it's the city's assets, and to not have them organized seemed like a very important piece for moving forward in some of the bigger revenue parts that the city can have some control of. So that's where we got with that. We'd love to. So the other part was on the branding. Something didn't sit right, and our question is getting to be, you know, who has the biggest vested interest in branding Morro Bay as a city? Currently, we've been asked to maybe look into the Chamber of Commerce and visit Morro Bay, which is great, but those are private companies, and their mission statement doesn't say, I want to see Morro Bay be the most successful city ever and like that, which is fine. They're doing a great job and a service. I haven't even looked into what they're doing, but it seems to me that the city deserves its own branding, and part of that branding would certainly embrace the college community, because that also brings in future residents and brings in their whole parent community. So that's where that branding piece came. We can go on and on about the assets that would be interesting for that kind of community, but more importantly is who's branding the city of Morro Bay? I think, you know, and we're going to dig into that a little bit more, Gene is. And then, am I taking too long, Steve? Oh, okay. It was staggering the other meeting when we found out that the gas stations get 18% of the tax, the TOT tax revenue, and we don't have a relationship that I know of where we're involved as a city saying, hey, gas station, how do we make you look good? How do you make us look good? How do we take one of the ideas in building revenue is what's working and how do you make it work even more? I do a lot of driving along that corridor, and access to gas stations is a big deal, and people get used to it, just like their coffee shop. So how do you become their gas station? I've started because of that. I did my own campaign in Morro Bay, and I'm asking everyone, just get your gas in Morro Bay. So now I'm contributing more to the TOT because I used to get in slow. Okay, thank you.
A report from Director Conrad.
Thank you. Good afternoon. I don't have that budget calendar pulled up, but we can work on that by the end of me talking here. So let's see. Let me give you an update on where we stand with the city's overall annual audit. We have received the draft from our auditors, and it was a long-awaited draft, and we've been busy validating and confirming and correcting those financial statements, notes, etc. So we are not going to make the January 31 goal date. It will make the City Council agenda for February 11th. I also wanted to let you all know that we have made the decision to bring business license and TOT administration services back in-house. The three-year contract with the vendor HGL ended March 22nd, March 31st. It will end March 31st, and we will at that time be poised and ready to deliver those services April 1st. So we really wanted to emphasize that we did a lot of analysis on this mm-hmm. and a lot of listening to our business community and determined that would be the best step, not only for our city, but also for our staff who feel separated from our community by this third party. And we have the budget development calendar pulled up. Thank you, team. So in February, next month, we'll begin preparing the budget framework, doing training internally, and giving instructions to staff. February 18th, we will provide the mid-year budget review to this committee. And on the 25th, a similar but full budget presentation to council. In March, we'll prepare, staff will begin preparing budget submittals to the finance department. On April 16th, new capital requests will go to PWAB for review. In April, the city manager and exec team will have meetings to talk about their requested budgets. We'll also request preliminary council input on the budget and fiscal policies if needed. On May 8th, we will deliver the draft proposed budget to council via email, and we will post that online as well. On May 20th, we will bring that proposed budget here for review, input, recommendations, of course, with emphasis on Measure Q and E. And on May 27th and reserved on May 28th, we will conduct the council budget study sessions. Any recommendations or changes resulting from those presentations will be implemented and will return to council with the final budget for adoption either on June 10th or June 24th if June 10th doesn't provide enough time. The time that it takes to make those revisions really depends on the number of revisions. And lastly, I would thank everyone, all the department heads, for taking the time to be here today for this presentation of year-end expenditures. And note that Erlyn Singwall, Director of Community Development, is here for the first business item for this body to appoint a committee member to the city's brand new Waterfront Master Plan Advisory Committee, or WMPAC. That concludes my comments.
Just a personal follow-up observation on the business license issue. First of all, thanks for trying it, and thanks for recognizing that it wasn't working and bringing it back. Having been on the chamber side for 6 years as of ending last year, that was one of the most important things that they worried about, is there was a disassociation between getting their business license and staying right with the city and getting verification from this particular vendor. And being able to talk to a real person at City Hall is important. So, like I said, thanks for trying and thanks for correcting.
I would just add to that that I think HDL's model would work for larger cities, but it really isn't a fit for a smaller city where we need more hands-on activity contributions to these applications. So,
thanks.
Yeah.
Any questions for Director Conrad?
No, I'd just like to echo thank you for doing that. I had some minimal interaction, and I did not find it fully satisfactory with the third party. So, and I'm hoping that that also has positive financial impacts as well in terms of, I know it has a cost, but hopefully it's net positive.
Thank you. Moving on, this is the time for public comment. Members of the audience wishing to address the CFAC on city business matters not on the agenda may do so at this time. For those desiring to speak on items on the agenda, we'd actually prefer that you do it at that time, but if time does not permit, you may provide comments on the agenda items now. Ms. Wenholtz. AGP, do we have anybody in the queue?
Stand by. We have no raised hands in the queue.
Thank you. The next item on the agenda is the consent calendar, which includes the minutes for October 15th and excuse absences for Sarah and Michael. I think we can take these all in one motion. Do I have a motion to approve the consent calendar?
I move to approve the consent calendar.
I will second the motion.
Clerk, call the roll.
Member Johnson?
Yes.
Member Dorfman?
Yes.
Chair Peck?
Yes.
Passes 3-0.
The next item is the on the agenda is the appointment of a Citizens Finance Finance Committee Advisory Committee member to the city's Waterfront Master Plan Advisory Committee. Boy, that's a mouthful. Staff recommends that we appoint a member. Community Development Director, would you like to preface that?
Yeah, good afternoon, Mr. Chair and Committee. I'm Marilyn Singwald, Community Development Director. I do have a very short presentation, not with the PowerPoint, but just some notes to give you an idea of what the Waterfront Master Plan update will entail and what you'd be getting yourself into as far as the one of you who joins the Waterfront Master Plan Advisory Committee, which we are calling the WAMPAC, to be a little bit less of a mouthful. So last Tuesday, City Council approved the composition of the WAMPAC, and it includes one member from each of the existing city advisory boards and commissions, one member from the Master Leaseholders Group, and one member from the National Estuary Program or another environmental group. So, of course, the purpose of this item is for CFAC to appoint you representative to the WAMPAC. A little bit of background. So the city received a $750,000 local planning assistance grant from the California Coastal Commission to update the city's Waterfront Master Plan. The Waterfront Master Plan hasn't been updated since it was first adopted in 1996. It is part of the city's local coastal program, so it's a significant part of our regulatory framework for planning in the city. At its core, the Waterfront Master Plan is the city's vision for development, land use, circulation, and infrastructure for the Embarcadero and waterfront areas of the city. The current Waterfront Master Plan extends from Tidelands Park north to Morro Rock. The updated plan, as directed by council and as recognized in our Coastal Commission grant, would extend further north to also include the former wastewater treatment plant site. Now I'm going to list off some of the core components of the Waterfront Master Plan update as currently envisioned by staff. Before we finalize a contract with a consultant, I'm going to be issuing a request for qualifications next week is the current timeline for that. Before we finalize the consultant contract, we would bring a draft scope to the WAMPAC for review to make sure there's an opportunity for WAMPAC and, you know, public input on the final scope of work that we're asking the consultant to take on with the city. So those major components of the plan, I consider these like the kind of minimum requirements that will be included in the plan, is an updated vision and goals for future development, land use, circulation, and infrastructure on the Embarcadero, an updated sea level rise analysis, vulnerability assessment, and an adaptation plan, which was a requirement of the Coastal Commission grant, a plaza plan and parking relocation plan for redeveloping the street and parking lots on the west side of the Embarcadero into public plazas as envisioned by the current Plan Morro Bay, master planning of the former wastewater treatment plant and the decommissioned power plant property. Of course, as much of the existing information available for the power plant master plan through the Vistra work effort would be considered, so it's not duplicated in this work effort. Next, an identification of public facilities, infrastructure, and spaces needed to support the working waterfront, commercial fishing industry, and harbor. And finally, a consideration of waterfront infrastructure for offshore wind development that was specifically directed by the council when they authorized us to apply to the Coastal Commission for the grant. Again, that's a very kind of basic list of components that will likely include many more items. So again, on January 14th, last Tuesday, Council approved the formation of the Waterfront Master Plan Advisory Committee. I already talked about the different groups that would make, or the appointees of the groups that would make up the WOMPAC. To give you an idea of the time commitment that you're getting yourself into, the WOMPAC would meet at least monthly. I'd envision as the process kicks off, possibly twice a month for the first few months. And my current best estimate of the time commitment is about 8 to 12 hours per month for up to 2 years. And that concludes my presentation.
Thank you. An important task. If it would please the committee, I'd be happy to serve on your behalf to this assignment. It's something I am passionate about, especially since it's kind of the heartbeat of the city. What's the committee's pleasure?
I think that's appropriate.
Okay. Cool with you, Brian? I guess you got your volunteer.
So if the committee could please take a vote for the record.
Okay. So I think the motion would be to appoint the chair, Stephen Peck, to the WOMPAC committee. Is there a second?
I'll second that motion.
Clerk, call the roll.
Chair Peck?
Yes.
Member Johnson?
Yes.
Member Dorfman? Passes 3-0.
Thank you very much, and thank you, Chair Peck, for agreeing to be part of the WOMPAC. It is a very significant planning effort, and it's a big time commitment, so we really appreciate that.
Item B2 is a review of the fiscal year transactions from the collection of the general purpose local sales tax, and the staff has sort of broken this down into three components. The first one is to receive and approve the presentation. The second is to provide input regarding the alignment of current and future Measure Q and E expenditures. And the third one is provide input to the chair or representative regarding the annual presentation to the City Council. Is there a presentation by the staff to start out?
But of course. All right, so as stated, this is the year-end review of revenue and expenditures for Measures Q and E for the fiscal year ending June. And my mic was not on, excuse me. This is the presentation of final expenditures and revenue for the Measures Q and E funding for fiscal year ending June 30th, 2024. We always like to start with the background for a reminder that Measure Q is a half-cent transaction and use tax that was passed in 2006. Measure E followed and was a one-cent transaction and use tax that passed in 2020. And it requires an Independent Finance Advisory Committee, or CFAC, to review expenditures. The general purpose taxes have defined priorities. On April 13th of 2021, Council directed that Measure E be used to maintain public safety services by funding staff positions that are most closely aligned with the purposes of Measure Q and E. Expenses include costs associated with Morro Bay Fire Department, Morro Bay Police Department, and Morro Bay Harbor personnel and equipment, in addition to the fire headquarters debt service, which has been paid off, and the fire engine loan repayment. And to maintain or enhance the cleanliness and safety of public space such as parks, waterfront, and the beach by funding personnel, supplies, expenses, and equipment to support city operations and departments, including public works, consolidated maintenance, and harbor department. We were also tasked with investing in infrastructure and equipment such as street paving, storm drains, vehicle replacements that support city services. This priority may include increasing capacity to implement the backlog of unfunded capital projects. And lastly, to ensure the financial health of the city by maintaining appropriate reserves to protect against economic downturn, natural or health emergencies, and other unforeseen challenges or opportunities. So that was the background review, and moving into the actuals and the 23-24 adopted budget. Revenue was $4,550,000, and expenditure budget was $5,715,712. And that was intentionally budgeted the expenditures higher than revenues in order to spend down some fund balance, as the CFAC at that time had recommended be done. Highlight some of the major or larger expenditures that were budgeted. There were $98,000 for two unmarked police vehicles, $350,000 for sidewalk curb repair, storm drain repair, street maintenance, $72,000 for a Harbor Patrol response vehicle, $67,000 towards the active transportation plan and active corridor studies project, $150,000 towards the local road safety plan implementation project, $60,000 for trash and recycling container replacements, $150,000 for sidewalk improvements and street tree replacements, and $1,840,000 towards the annual pavement management program. So 99% of the budgeted revenues were received, meaning we had a pretty close projection. 94% of budget expenditures were spent, and the $830,891 fund balance was reduced from the fund balance. And we always put in unaudited, as the audit has not quite been finalized. Little disclaimer, I don't expect any changes to that number. So we will go now into the individual department budget and expenditures. The chief, Amy Watkins, is here if there are any questions. So for personnel, a total of $695,199 were budgeted. $723,835 was spent. So out of that personnel budget, we went over by $28,636. In other words, 104% was spent. When we move into the operating costs on the next slide, we see that was offset by coming in under budget in the automobiles line and the payment to other agencies line. So overall, they had just almost $900,000 budgeted and spent pretty close to that at $878,445, or 98%. Moving on to the fire department expenditures. Everything that was budgeted for fire in 23-24 was for personnel. So we had a $952,000 personnel budget, and almost $856,000 were spent ultimately, or 90%. Before we move on, are there any you can pipe in with questions anytime.
Yeah, I have a question regarding the same line item in several categories, which is this unfunded, the PERS unfunded accrued liability, which tends to be around 10% for every one of the, plus or minus. What does that refer to, and is that something we need to be worried about?
That's literally refers to the unfunded liability for PERS, and
the pension. California Pension Plan.
Yep. And so that's a pretty complex calculation that we use to figure out how much each fund and each department within each fund will pay towards that on an annual basis. It's $2.5 million or so, I think, total for the city in 23-24. And it's a major issue for not only the city of Morro Bay, but all cities in California, as we're figuring out how we're going to fund this over the next 30 years or so.
Is that going to go up every year? Obviously, it will go up, but I meant percentage-wise, will it go up in terms of budget?
The percent that is budgeted in each individual fund and department?
In aggregate, because they're all, again, around 10%.
Yeah. It depends on the number of people. It's based on the positions. It's part of that calculation. But in total for the city, that completely depends on the returns that PERS gets and their investments, so we don't have control over that aspect.
Mm. And how does this compare to years past? I'm just curious. It's a higher percentage, lower percentage?
I couldn't answer that without doing the research and giving hard numbers. It will vary, though, depending on the number of positions that we have budgeted in this fund. It will go up if we have more positions and down with less. Mm.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
I had a question that I think I posed to staff yesterday about kind of, not specifically on the fire department, but kind of the net. If we came in under budget by 96,000, what's the city's policy, especially with regards to things that are funded with Q&E, about moving that money around among expense groups? Later on in the public works budgets, there's a kind of an under expenditure in part-time work, but there's an unplanned expenditure, at least from our standpoint, in vehicles. Could you explain the city's policy to kind of move money around between expense groups?
Sure. So the policy is that we need to come in at or under budget for the fund as a total for each of the city's funds. We also make efforts to stay within budget within the departments that are budgeted within each fund. So less attention, not attention, but it's less important that every line item comes in at budget if overall that department and that fund as a whole is at or under budget. So the same would be true for this fund 003 or Measures Q&E. That's essentially it.
Okay.
I think the only thing I would add is that the department heads have discretion for any for spending under $25,000. Anything over that goes to the city manager for her approval.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I'll come back to this at the summary because I think there's some questions about that. So thank you.
And before this, let me add that for this fund, it's essential that whatever they spend still meets the requirements under mandates of the fund. So everything we went over in that background slide. So that we do make sure that that is happening.
Thank you.
Moving on to public works. For personnel, they had $242,907 budgeted. And the final expenditures were $178,000, or 73% of total. That got a little smaller. It's a little harder to see. For consolidated maintenance within the public works, they had personnel and another maintenance vehicle. For a total budget of $503,823 and a total spent of $413,303, or 82%. And I think this is where you had one of your questions, Chair Peck. Could I invite Director Qualick up to speak to that other maintenance vehicle?
Yeah, and I think my question while Director Qualick's coming up is that our authorization, our explanation of the expenditure of funds is fairly specific. You know, in the case of public works, it has to do with people in the design division to support capital projects, part-time people. And then other items aren't that justification. So if Director Qualick can speak to, in this case, we're spending $20,000 out of Q&E for vehicle maintenance and underfunding the part-time pay that we thought we were funding. That also occurs, I think, in one other division where looks like a vehicle was purchased but other things weren't spent. So that's my question.
Thank you for the question, Chair Peck. So I can speak generally about it. I mean, it's fairly common in municipal budgets that sometimes we're unable to spend money that we intend to spend, especially with personnel, because there's always a lag time, again, particularly in the context of a municipal organization, there's always a lag time between when you have the availability to hire someone and whether you can actually hire them. And in our case, during the last fiscal year, that's the subject of this conversation, we had a lot of trouble finding part-time maintenance workers, which is where we weren't able to spend all the money. I believe we went through 4 or 5 rounds of recruitment. That means 4 or 5 times of putting the notice out there, receiving a number of applicants, a lot of those applicants dropping off, a lot of them not qualified, and some of them not showing up to the interview. No qualified candidates, start all over. And so as a result, we did have some leftover monies that we, per the city's policies that Director Conrad explained just now, we were able to purchase some goods or equipment in support of our operations. I do note that in the staff report, it outlines what the Measure Q and E fund can be used for, and one of them is to maintain or enhance cleanliness and safety of public spaces such as parks, waterfront, et cetera. And so the equipment that we purchased was in line with that directive.
Thank you. I guess for the purposes of this committee, we're the ones that decide whether, you know, in our opinion to the council, whether it complies. So I think my question is more procedural than substantive, that if we think we're funding part-time positions and it turns out we're funding vehicle purchases, I think everybody has the same good intent. But at the end of the day, the council's question of us is that are these in compliance with the objectives of Q&E as they were presented to the voters? So I'm finding it more and more difficult as these kinds of adjustments are made to kind of reliably make that report to the council. So I'm asking for some indulgence by the staff that if that occurs, we meet 7 or 8 times a year, come back to us and talk to us about that, because we may completely concur, but at this point, we've got expenses and categories we didn't approve, and a lack of expense in categories we thought we were going to perform in. So I want to take this opportunity to sort of explain that, because this, you know, now we have to opine in arrears that they are. So thank you for your explanation.
Can I ask a follow-on question about, do you understand the root cause for this lack of finalized qualified applicants, and is that something that can be addressed? Because that sounds like it's taking up a lot of your time and it's not leading to good results.
It's a good question. We eventually did find a qualified candidate that we hired on a part-time basis. It's always been a bit of a struggle, to be frank. These positions are low paid. They're part-time. In some cases, they're seasonal. And they're doing the work that no one wants to do. It's cleaning the bathrooms, the public restrooms that we have along the Embarcadero, at the Rock parking lot. And so the city is in competition with other agencies and with other private sector employers who pay more, who offer benefits sometimes. And so if I recall, and, you know, I'm doing some mental gymnastics to go back in time here. If I recall, we did increase the hourly pay for that to try to incentivize more applicants to come forward that were qualified. But typically with maintenance roles, these are hard positions to fill, because if someone does have skills, you know, that they can do a lot better than $20 an hour. And so we're really looking for those kind of niche people who have some time, who don't need a full-time job. This is just maybe extra money for them. And maybe they could work it into, you know, having another full-time job. So it really is for only the right candidate. And just out here in the Central Coast, you know, we don't have that many people coming forward that, unfortunately, that have the skills or the desire to do the work that we're asking them to do.
And it sounds like you don't have much flexibility in raising that hourly rate in the high-cost area.
Thank you for the question, Committee Member Johnson. So we do, to the extent that we can put together sort of a package for someone, you know, the more we raise the hourly, then the less hours we can give to that person. Mm. And so we have to fill a certain shift, and so we need a certain number of hours for it to make sense from an operational standpoint. And then also, you know, there may be an expectation, you know, if let's say we rose it to $30 an hour, well, now we can only do, you know, 15 hours a week rather than 25 hours a week. Well, an individual may decide, well, you know, I can't do that few hours. I need to work longer than that. And then beyond that, we do come across a compaction issue where we don't want to pay our part-time hourly employees more per hour than our full-time staff. And so at some of the lower levels on the maintenance worker scale, we start to run into that, where if we pay them more, we're actually paying the part-time folks, or we could be paying the part-time folks more than the salary ranges we have for our permanent staff.
Isn't that typically what happens, say, with contractors who don't have benefits? Anyway, just curious about your policy. It sounds like it's an issue to attract people. I'm just wondering, you know, how to solve that.
I appreciate that. I mean, we certainly could spend some time talking about that, and I won't do that today.
Yeah,
but there is another option to hire a contractor with that funding. We chose not to do that, and there's reasons for that. Ultimately, we did find someone to fill the position. It just meant that we didn't spend some of the funds as they had been allocated by the City Council in the budget for Q&E. And so we had a surplus, so to speak.
Thank you.
I'd like to add also about that vehicle purchase, if I may. So first, I want to draw the distinction between the oversight and the reporting back and the approval of purchases. So it is incumbent upon the staff to make sure that purchases are in line with the Measure Q&E requirements or as put forth by council. And we do that, and we do take that seriously. And this vehicle is UTV or ATV. Frankly, I'm not sure that distinction, but it was purchased for maintenance staff to use for keeping streets clean, parks maintained, and to get to areas that they can't get to with larger vehicles. And and it was looked at for purchase when it was discovered how much below and under budget this particular department budget was in May of 2024. So a lot of thought was put into it. We looked at the council requirements, we looked at the measures requirements and policy, and staff in collaboration with Public Works went move forward with the purchase. So I just want you to know and have peace of mind that it wasn't a spontaneous off the cuff random selection.
And I'm not alleging that it does. I think as we're here today, our job is to tell the council, give our recommendations as to whether the funds were spent or the activities that were funded were in compliance. So you obviously have a duty to make sure that happens, as do we. So I guess I'm just asking you to share the pain, share the story. I'd rather say, yeah, we agree with that, rather than trying to read between the lines, which is what I had to do over the weekend to find out that, well, why did that occur? So there wasn't any story, the same backstory that you had. So I think for my purposes, I'd appreciate, tell us what went on, and if there needs to, like we did for fire and police earlier or late last year, let us know and help us along with that. So I'd rather be making that decision incrementally rather than saying, well, what went on?
Yes, I agree. And that's why we did bring you those items in the fall. I wanted to do that. And as much as we are able to within the calendared meetings of this body, we will do that. We just couldn't with this one because the meeting had already taken place and the timing didn't work out. What we will do is make efforts to tell that story better in our reports. We could have added that here, and then you wouldn't have had the question. So we can absolutely do that. I think that's incumbent upon us then to tell you that story. So
yes.
I agree. Shall we move on? Okay. Just don't go too far, sir. So moving on then to the street maintenance expenditures. We had a total budget of $350,000. And the explanation here, as you can see, we spent $335,000 using available budget savings. A mini excavator was purchased for street repairs, ditch cleaning, stump and tree removal, parking lot maintenance. Prior to this purchase, the maintenance division did not have an excavator or backhoe to perform this work and relied on borrowed equipment from other divisions or third-party contractors at higher costs. So if I understand this correctly, we were going to contract out all of the services, and by purchasing this equipment, we were able to instead perform it on our own. And an added benefit is now that other divisions and departments can use that equipment as well. Anything you want to add, Mr. Qualick? No? Thank you, Director Qualick. Moving on to our harbor department. We had a total of $265,562 budgeted, $170,669 spent for a total of 64% total budget expended. I wanted to draw attention to this automobiles line. So the $72,000 was spent on a vehicle, but we don't want to use, we don't want to purchase it directly out of a general fund. It's an accounting issue, so bear with me while I talk through this. We have to capitalize these expenditures. We have to put it on our depreciation schedule, and so I don't want an enterprise fund vehicle to be showing as purchased out of a general fund. So rather than purchasing the automobile out of this line, we did a transfer out of the $72,000 to Harbor, and they purchased it out of their budget. That way, when I run a report on capital assets, I will see that expenditure in the Harbor Fund where it's supposed to be. So, just wanted to explain that for you. Any other questions on the Harbor? Okay, moving on to the Harbor, but specifically the Department for Beach Lifeguards. We budgeted $94,268 and spent $80,965, or a total of 86%. Unfortunately, because our director wasn't here at this time, he may not have a lot to add, but he is here if you have any questions. It's difficult to answer questions for a period where you weren't present, but we are here.
Well, Chris gets the blame anyway, so.
Yes, that is the point.
I can try to answer.
Do you have any questions for the Harbor Director?
Any questions for?
No.
I had, Director Munson and I have met a couple times and appreciate that he's on board now. I think one of the items I commented on last year was the exponential increase in the trash pickup. It wasn't too long ago where our response, Q&E's responsibility was zero. And I think this year was a well over $100,000, over $130,000. One of the things we're going to be talking about later on is the availability for Q&E to fund expenses is declining in real terms and in absolute terms. Could you explain that one line item to the best you can, or maybe get back to us at the next meeting? I think two or three years ago it was $80,000. It looks like we spent $122,000 out of a $114,000 budget. It just seems like I'm not quite sure I can get my arms around that. I can get my arms around the part-time Harbor Patrol and lifeguards. That one just seems like, what is it? And how do we moderate that? That looks like something that could go up exponentially. So it's the nature of my question. Sorry for being a little vague.
Thank you, Chair and committee members. Are you talking specifically about the trash collection?
Yes.
Numbers? I know that during COVID, it did go up significantly because of the amount of takeout that we were receiving. The takeout boxes were taking up a lot more trash and required to be disposed of. But I can look into why it remains high. I'm unsure if that's inflation, if that means that we increased our rate of service and that we've just kept it there past COVID. So I'll look at that and get back to you.
And from my standpoint, I don't see overflowing trash cans again. I think we get Sunday pickup we didn't get before. Seems like one of those things, at least from my standpoint, I need to get my arms around it to say, how do we pay for cleanliness long-term if the source of money that's paying for it is going to decline? So,
understood.
Thank you.
Welcome. Any other questions? Okay. Thank you.
Mixed into that, too, is that Morro Bay garbage rates went up by a large amount. So okay. That's what's in that line, is the Morro Bay pickup.
Okay. Thanks.
This is our last department slide, and before we move into a little overview over contributions to capital projects. These are our non-departmental and interfund transfer expenditures. We had budgeted in contractual services $50,000, and we ended up spending this year just $7,200. But I believe we expect to spend that in 24-25. Chief McCrane, can you speak to that?
That's for the standards of coverage study?
Yeah, I believe that is for the standards of coverage study.
Yeah, that was for the standards of coverage study. We expect it to be completed here. They had to break out the fire department portion from police and harbor due to the collection of data. The fire department portion we expect to see around the end of January, beginning of February, and then maybe a month to 2 months later, we'll receive the remainder of the report, but we'll have it all done before the end of the fiscal year.
Okay, thanks.
And then our transfers out, you can see that $72,000 I mentioned previously for the harbor vehicle that was approved by and recommended by CFAC and approved by council. And then the $2.267 million was transferred out for capital improvement projects, which we will go into on the next slide. So here we are looking at the actual project budget. So we've left fund 003, Measures Q and E, and we've gone into fund number 915, which is our governmental capital improvement fund. And you see there the budgeted and transferred $67,000 for this project. We had budgeted $80,000 in expenditures, $13,000 coming from another source, and I don't believe that project got started yet in 23-24. So you see zero expenditures there. The local road safety plan transferred in $150,000. About $80,000 has been spent as of June 30, 2024. And the big one, annual pavement management program, transferred in $1.84 million. And I think we all have seen all the trucks and all the paving going around, and Main Street starting to look great in North Morro Bay. Mm. So as of June 30th, just that $460,000 was spent, and the rest is being spent as we speak. Sidewalk improvement and street tree replacements transferred in $150,000 and zero expenditures as of June 30th. Are there, and the trash enclosures, $60,000 set aside for that. That did not happen prior to June 30th of 2024, but it is underway now. Let's just go back one slide. Were there any questions on any of the projects?
Yeah, I think if you could just sort of run through those again and as best you can tell us what the December 31st numbers look like. Is it something that's still stalled? Is it close to complete? Some of these have zero spent, which means that they weren't initiated or nothing to been expensed, but perhaps they were ongoing and simply hadn't paid any bills yet. So if you could run through those and let us know basically the status of each one.
Thank you, Chair Peck. I'd be happy to do that. So for the first one, active transportation plan, this is a plan that's required if the city wants to access certain grant funding. We decided to deprioritize this one, just given how many projects we have right now. And in the capital projects prioritization item we'll be taking to council in the next couple of months, we may even recommend to just eliminate this project simply because we don't have the capacity to do it. And so that one is on hold, possibly will be eliminated. Next slide, please. Local roadway safety plan, that project was completed, and the way we had structured the funding for that is that once we completed the plan, we would have money in the out years to actually do some of the work that's recommended in the LRSP. And so that we haven't done any of that follow-up work yet. We do have an opportunity to combine the funding with other funding to create a bigger project, which is sort of a pattern that we've been doing. It's much more efficient from a staff capacity standpoint to combine projects and bid them out as one, because we only put out one bid, and then we typically will see better pricing from contractors when we have larger ticket items. So that is one that we'd still like to utilize, again, commingled with other funds and other projects. Next slide, please. This, as Director Conrad mentioned, is an active project. They're out on Main Street today, and actually is about a $4.5 million project that's combined projects from Q&E contributions from fiscal years 22-23, 23-24, and also from 24-25, though I think 24-25 was general fund, not Q&E. I'm getting a head nod. And so that we expect to spend all the Q&E by the end of April. That project we hope to have done earlier, but with some of the weather we ran into, it just delayed out some of the work. And then finally, the sidewalk improvement and street tree replacements. We're currently expending the funding to do that work right now out of our operating monies. This is still capital money that we have as a holdover. And again, this for us is a good candidate to combine with another project so that we could bid it out as one. Just as an example, you know, if we're doing an LRSP project where we're putting in a crosswalk signal or something, well, there may be a deficient sidewalk there and that we could use this funding for. So, you know, from our standpoint, it's still an active project, it's just one that we haven't bid out yet. I think that's it. Oh, and the trash cans, thank you. That, we have the order out, and we are waiting for the shipment, and that'll be spent within the next month or so, once we pay the invoice. That's going to give us 20 sets of trash cans that we'll be putting on the Embarcadero. They are going to be very much in the style of the Cambria cans. They're going to have a nice wooden facade. They're going to be much more elegant, and they're going to have a planter box on top. We've collaborated with Morro Bay and Bloom. They will be maintaining succulents in those planters along the Embarcadero. If you've seen our trash cans as they are now, they're in pretty rough shape. And so we've had a prototype out at Anchor Park for everyone to look at. We got a lot of great feedback on it. Mm. We put in the order for the materials, and we'll be building those as soon as those materials come in. That's all.
Questions? I don't have any further questions. I did have a request that I talked to Director Conrad about. Is that I think one of the things that we're expected to do every year is to comment on the activities funded. And so while this kind of look at the 23-24 capital is useful, there's lots of years of capital we funded that are still in process. And I think for my own purpose and for the purpose of the committee, I think we need to see the whole list. So that's one of the things I'm going to ask that you bring back for the next meeting so they can continue it and so we can look and say, so this is what we funded in 2021. This is where it is. The money was spent the way that it was intended, and we can basically sign off on that. But I know that's a little extra work for staff, but in terms of being able to say, yeah, the money was spent the way that it was intended and funded, I think that's the information that at least I would need to make that recommendation and finding. I did have one other item. It's not a Q&E item, but I think it's really important. That's the, I think it was in 2021 or 22, the city did a citywide capital and facilities planning capital item, a couple $100,000. When I joined CFAC, I thought that was essential to doing our job so that we could find out if we've got capital, whether it's harbor or streets, and what are the funding sources for that. Every year we fly blind trying to figure out, well, where does Q&E sort of fall into the big picture? But there is no big picture. I'm not quite sure where that stands now. That was a general fund funded item. But I think from our standpoint, if we can see how Q&E fits into that, it would make our job a lot easier, and I think probably the staff's job a lot easier. One of the comments I'm going to make at the end of the hearing is that the personnel and the services part of the Q&E budget has increased substantially. The piece of capital that we can spend is declining significantly. And so how all that stuff fits together, I think, is really important. So if that is another study that is kind of on hold, not done yet, I would encourage the staff and the council to take it off hold, get it done, because otherwise we're simply figuring it out year to year.
If Chair Peck, if I may offer a brief response, and as you correctly mentioned, this was a budgeted item in a previous fiscal year. The city budgeted $400,000, $200,000 to come out of the Harbor Fund, and $200,000 to come out of the General Fund to complete capital assessments for a variety of reasons. You know, one being it helps us with our prioritization. If we have an understanding, a comprehensive understanding about what issues, what maintenance issues that the city needs to take on. And we did take on two projects with that. We went out for an RFP to get a consultant to study the harbor revetments, and that report is forthcoming. We're very close to that report being done. As far as the citywide capital assessments, we did also go out an RFP, and we got a consultant ready to go. Given the cost of the harbor assessment, the city decided to move some of that general fund money towards the harbor assessment. Otherwise, we wouldn't have been able to even do that. And so one thing that we learned in this process is these assessments are very expensive, and I'd be remiss if I didn't note that there are some community expectations that maybe we don't spend all this money on these sorts of consultants to do these sorts of assessments. There's just a lot of long overdue physical work, and so we've since prioritized that rather than go after these studies, even if perhaps they're a bit more strategic and better in the long run. We don't always get the support for taking on those sorts of studies.
Thank you.
You know, good for you for making a good management decision. I was in SLO the other day, and I just can't believe that SLO can't manage their budget. They have so much money. So I'm a big advocate of how do we manage what we have as a big part of our solutions. Mismanagement is, I mean, that's just worse than not getting revenue. I can go on and on about that. So thanks for that.
Okay, so to wrap up the numbers part, thank you, Director Qualley. We started the year with a fund balance of $1.3 million. We earned that $4.5 million for an updated fund balance of $5.8 million. Spent $5.3 million. The balance sheet activity is the accounting entry to book compensated absences for staff funded here. And that resulted in the total use of funds of $5.4 million, and a remaining fund balance, again, disclaimer, unaudited, of $450,998. We had a few charts here for you to show the budget expenditures by department. Sometimes it's easier to see a picture, just to get a good idea of the activity over time. So you see in that 2021, that was, I believe, prior to E coming in, and so that's why that is so much lower. I can barely see it myself. About $1.5 million. In 2022, just about $4.5 million budgeted. 2023, just over $5 million. And 2024, as we had just reviewed, about 5.5 or 5.6 million. In 2025, we did bring that expenditure budget down as recommended by this body to just under $4 million. And on the right, we have the budget over time presented as by the different objects. So the green portion is the personnel costs. As you were stating, Chair Peck, those have grown quite a bit. The services are the red. The interfund transfers, which is to the capital improvement projects primarily, is the orange on the bottom. Other expenses are that, I don't know, I'm sorry, it's hard to see.
So it's, we're looking at supplies, is that blue sliver Debt service is hardly visible there, but it was larger in 21 and 22. And then other expenses is right behind the red services portion. The bulk of those was 22, 23.
Thank you, Melissa. So to review again, Measure E priorities are to maintain public safety services by funding staff positions most closely aligned with the purposes of Q&E. Expenses are associated with the fire department, police department, and harbor department, as well as harbor equipment, in addition to fire headquarters debt service and engine loan repayment, both of which are retired. Maintain or enhance cleanliness and safety of public spaces such as parks, waterfront, and the beach. Invest in infrastructure and equipment, and ensure the city's financial health by maintaining appropriate reserves to protect against economic downturns, natural and health emergencies, and other unforeseen challenges or opportunities. With that, we end with our staff recommendations for this item, which are to receive and approve the presentation if all questions have been asked and answered. Provide input to staff regarding the alignment of current and future Measure Q&E expenditures with council priorities and staff specific recommendations for the upcoming year budget development. And lastly, to provide input to the chair or representative of CFAC regarding the committee's annual presentation to be delivered in February 2025.
Thank you. I think my sense and what I'll start out suggesting initially is that we discuss this, take some public comment if it's if desired. For my part, I think there's some missing information with regards to capital beyond the 23-24 year that needs to be provided, and perhaps finalizing these items when Michael and Sarah are back, when we have a full committee. So is that okay with the committee? So the action would be is we'd discuss each of these items and continue final recommendation to our February 18th meeting, including the input to the chair on the draft report. Which is the following week. Any comments on number one, the transactions and that sort of thing that you want to make?
No.
Okay. Team? Yep. Okay. I'm satisfied with the discussion on the operating accounts and satisfied with the discussion on the use of monies for the vehicles that weren't on our initial, and we just ask that maybe some of that narrative be included in our future staff reports, and then request that we get the detail on the additional capital items that were funded out of Q&A. Okay.
That is noted, and we will work on that second request, and we can definitely do that for future staff reports.
So from a finding standpoint, I'd note that I think it's possible, with the exception of our discussion on capital, that the items are in substantial compliance with Q&E and the original budget purposes. The second one is provide input to staff regarding the alignment of current and future Q&E and expenditures with council priorities and specific recommendations for fiscal year 25-26 budget development. Committee Member Johnson, any observations on that item?
No, I don't.
Brian? I think my recommendations would be that the council priorities are from 2021, probably held us in good stead until now. We're going to have a new council, a different economic outlook than we thought we had then, so it's probably timely and to comprehensively review those priorities, especially with looking at funding limitations. I've heard from my other committee members that we may just need to stick to the basics. When I look at the authorizing pieces in the And the actual measures, they speak of police and fire and fire engines and roads and potholes and things like that. So as we look farther down the road, so to speak, what I hear from my colleagues and others is that those are sort of our core pieces that we need to look at. With respect to the comment on the capital facilities plan and financing plan, if we're not going to go out for it, let's do it in-house. Let's at least get a good 5 to 10 year capital plan going. If there's some hesitation to hiring folks that have done it before and doing it in-house, let's do that. I think we need to look at the existing capital backlog. We've got lots of funded projects, and I appreciate Director Qualick's constraints, but at some point you just say, are we going to do that or not going to do it, or is it something that's just sort of sitting there waiting for a project to happen? That kind of makes me nervous about our responsibility to say, so where is that money being spent? It also makes me think that we need to implement the new revenue sources, the work that Committee Member Johnson and Brian are doing, that the availability of this fund for major new capital, that heyday is over. That's on the decline, and we need to get serious about the new revenue sources. So those are the items I'd suggest we discuss and continue to the February 18th meeting about future funding priorities. Is there anything else that you wanted us to look at, Director Conrad, in that regard?
Mostly we want you to absorb this presentation, and you can review it since it was published in the agenda. And when we're looking at budget development for 25-26, reflect upon that to inform your recommendations for the new budget.
Okay. Before we move on to the third item, I want to make sure that if there's anybody in the audience who wants to comment on this item, or anybody online that might want to comment on the item, now would be the time. Yes, please.
Thank you. Betty Winholtz. I'll do a really detailed thing first and then my overall comment, and that's with regard to the old trash cans that are going to be taken off the Embarcadero, particularly the art cans. I'm concerned where those may end up. They were paid for by Morro Bay Beautiful, and they had a backing, a financial backing that would maintain them over time. Certainly the recycle cans are trash. I mean, they're just really ugly. They're broken, they're deformed. But the art cans themselves, I would hope, would end up in some parks or somewhere where they will still be appreciated. Then my other comment is really overall about Measure Q, and I think I'm only one in the room that was here when Measure Q was passed. And the intent of that, when it was presented to us, the residents, and on council, was that this would be used for items that we could not normally afford. It was not to be used for vehicles. It was not to be used for personnel, even, unless it was a special situation. So I just want to throw that out to you, that I understand that Q and E have been meshed, and that they have even been meshed within the general plan. So you may no longer honor that, but that, for us, the old-timers, is where we're coming from when we look at your work, is that we're looking to see if you're honoring those kinds of commitments. It's kind of the core things that Chair said earlier, that, you know, we're back to the basics here and not we're doing fancy projects. Thanks.
Is there anybody in the queue, AGP?
There are no raised hands in the queue.
Thank you. Each year we're required to make a report to the City Council, I think eight months after the close of the fiscal year, which will be the end of February. Typically that includes a summary of the prior year's expenditures, some comments. Our duty, according to the handbook, is that we review the activities that were funded with Q&E, and our assignment as part of the measures that we make sure that they're being spent as represented. So one of the things I wanted to do was to circulate a draft presentation that I've worked on that we can discuss and continue. I think there are pages on the back table for the public. This follows the format that my predecessors have used, which basically shows what we did. We reviewed the Q&E transactions. We had a joint meeting with the City Council, joint meeting with PWAB, reviewed the semi-annual reports, commented on budget proposals, commented on amended budget proposals for police and fire, reviewed public information strategies to enhance access and transparency, initiated review of new and augmented revenue sources, formed a subcommittee for that, and had information and training on sales tax sources and trends. The second slide shows the CFAC functions. I wanted to emphasize that our functions with measure relative to the handbook says we're going to be looking at activities funded, which means how was the money spent, not how it was kind of moved around within the organization, but what did we end up spending that on. Some of the things we have worked on, the PERS and OPEB liabilities, that unfunded liability, council compensation, mid-year budget adjustments, harbor lease policy, 10-year financial forecast, city revenues, and joint meeting with council. I think one of the items that relates to the previous speaker, the legislative purposes of Q&E, the CFAC has discussed what our rubric is or what our template needs to be in order to render our opinion. And so what we've done is cobbled together a list of the purposes and uses of funds under Q, which would be maintain police department services, upgrade fire paramedic equipment, fire stations, general city services, street maintenance and pothole repairs, and improve storm drains to protect the bay. In 2020, Measure E included maintain police department services, fire department services, 24/7 paramedic services, 9/11 emergency response, health and emergency disaster preparedness, keeping beaches and public areas safe and clean, retaining and attracting businesses, general city services. So in aggregate, those are the items that Q&E combined are intended. And I can assure the speaker that we look at those on behalf of the voters and previous councils who forwarded those items. It's not something we made up. It's a city council put the matter on the ballot. The voters voted for it, and that's, I think, what they expect to get. Certainly, there's some variation around that, but at least from my perspective and the perspective of the predecessors, my predecessors, they take this list very seriously. So the next page is something new that I don't think we've done with the council, and that's basically taking more of a longer-term perspective. This little chart that may not be very easy to read in the current form basically includes 5 years worth of history and shows what departments have been funded, what their percentage of the budget is, what their percentage of Q&E is, and that has changed over time. It used to be that the percent of Q&E for personnel that was 24% in 2021. The percent of Q&E for personnel and services and departmental expenses is now about 76%. Those things have flipped. There's also the police and fire, according to this, has been about, is currently about 56% police and fire in 2020 and 21 was about 98%. So, part of the purpose of this when we present it to the council is to say, these are things that have happened over time, maybe consciously, but we need to add another 5 years onto that and assume that Q&E revenues are going to be relatively flat. They certainly aren't going to grow as fast as expenses. And as we've been told by Finance Director Conrad and every previous Finance Director, those lines are going to cross. And at some point, we're going to make some hard choices. And so let's not hire people now that we're going to have to lay off 2 years from now. So anyway, that's the message. So I'd like some discussion around that. And just the last page is the Q&E findings with regards to conformity expenditures, other findings about, I think this year we're having, or at least 24-25 showed a 5.2% decline in Q&E revenues. So I think, what is it, Emily? 4.3 million dollars rather than $4.5 million.
Yeah, I believe that's correct. Yeah.
Yes, yeah. That's what it says.
We actually showed a decline in Q&E revenues from 23-24 to 24-25. And then finally, the transparency, compliance, and maintenance. We need to be fair to the public and ourselves about what we're funding and why we're funding it. So with that, again, my recommendation is we take the draft presentation, think about it, comment on it, and then make a final recommendation when we're back at full strength on the 18th. So any comments?
Okay. Yeah, this is a great presentation. I'd love to get a soft copy of that.
Okay, sure.
Yeah, I think those important points are revenues are flat and the personnel percentage is going up, up, up. And then, and third, going back to, yeah, the need for new revenue sources, which I believe are highly feasible. Just,
oh, I can't help myself. So how does the personnel expenses go up, up, up? Who's the personnel and how's that happening?
In June of 2024, the contracts were all under negotiation for the different groups, and increases were negotiated at that time. So we can see increases to costs due to increases in pay rates, which we will certainly see over the next 3 years. Most contracts were 5% increases per year. And it could also increase if we increase the number of bodies or employees.
Which you did do in 23-24. And I apologize because I took out a slide in the presentation that was given to you last year that went and kind of re-looked at the budget that had been approved and the changes from the prior year budget to this year's budget. And in my mind, I'm in year end, so I just was like, why are we talking about budget development? We're not there yet. So I removed that, and I think that would have given you the context that you need. You did authorize an increase in personnel costs in consolidated maintenance and in public works. So those are expenses that I believe were added in as Measure E took effect. So some of those changes in the percent of total Q&E fund expenditures are going to change because there was an increase in revenue from Measure E, and those were allocated differently.
So we'll, do I have a motion to continue item B2 to February 18th?
I will move to continue item B2 to February 8th, you said?
18th.
Sure, I will second the motion.
Clerk, call the roll.
Before roll call, for point of clarification, do you also want to move B1 to receive and approve those transactions, or did you want to make a separate motion to approve those?
I think I'd like to continue them because we don't have the capital yet. And so in approving any transactions, that we don't have the information to approve or disapprove
okay. The
transactions that occurred on capital prior to 23-24.
Okay. So is it appropriate to amend that motion to include items 1 and 2 from B2?
So all of item B2, which would be sub-item 1, 2, and 3.
Okay.
Yeah.
In that case, Chair Peck?
Yes.
Member Dorfman?
Yes.
Member Johnson?
Yes.
3-0.
Future agenda items?
One future agenda item, besides what we just pushed forward, are City Council goal setting and goal review. So we expect to do that with you on the 18th as well. And at that time, we will also bring you the mid-year report for review.
Okay. Next meeting's February 18th. I did have a question that I didn't answer at the right time. We were projecting a decline in Q&E revenues, and I know from an accounting standpoint, I'm pressing you hard on this. Based on what we collected between July 1st and December 31st compared to what we collected the prior year, is that up or down? Are you seeing the 5% decline in the first 6 months that you would have predicted, or does that pattern holding?
You mean compared to the prior same period in the prior year?
Yes.
I'm going to look to Melissa, who has been working on projections, and she has a response for you.
So the projections are kind of funny because we're looking at a reduction over prior year budget, but there's also been a reduction in prior year actuals. So your prior year, your actuals have actually been in decline since, I believe it's 22-23. But no, we do think that our projections for 24-25 are still in alignment with budget. We are conservatively estimating about 95% of the projections that we're receiving from HDL, and those have not changed since we established budget.
I think we peaked at 4.7, then we hit like 4.5, 4.55, then it was like 4.5 even, mm-hmm. and now it's like 4.33. And so I guess my question is, you still think we're going to hit the 4.33? Or something thereabouts. It's okay, right?
The best we can tell for now, yes. And I wanted to clarify, when we say HDL, because they do so many different things, in this case we mean the sales tax team, not the business license DOT administration team.
All right. Thank you. Motion to adjourn?
Could I add a topic? It's kind of looping back to an earlier item, which I've just had thoughts to bring up, because I see a lot of correlation between what Brian and I had in mind with revenue enhancement and some of this work on the WMPAC, the waterfront, because in fact our most underutilized properties are very much close to the coast, things like, you know, ocean view junkyards basically, or storage facilities. So I'm wondering if there's any way that we can work to tightly work together rather than having totally separate and not coordinated efforts.
I think it was council's intent, having talked to our liaison, Cindy, and the mayor, that appointing somebody from each advisory board was intended just to do that. So I can carry your message to that group and then have that group perhaps talk about, so what are the opportunities? Certainly, they're tremendous if we know how to take advantage of them.
Okay, and then maybe to consider even occasional co-meetings. I would recommend that. Thank you.
I guess I'll interject since it's way overdue, but I would say, having talked to Jean, she's put a tremendous amount of thought into that development, and she's. It'd be nice if she could have a seat at the table with some of that, just however that works. I don't really understand the workings on the political level of this, but I think her voice is really important in that process.
I move to adjourn.
Sure, I'll second it.